I just had the weirdest thing walking in. Sean, I don't know if you've experienced this, or Jason. Welcome, guys. And we should have Travis later. So I'm in the parking lot of the studio. This just happened. And I get out of my car, and I'm walking towards the studio. And one of those driverless cars was in the parking lot.
I've never seen one of those.
And it's one of those, like, Google. Is that like a Google Maps car or something? It said Waymo.
Waymo, yeah.
So it's driving towards me. There's no driver. But as it gets close to me, it moves around me. But there's no driver. It was really weird.
I'm sure that's one of the things that they're programmed to do, is to move around pedestrians.
You would think the programmer did that.
Would remember that detail.
But it was having a driverless car drive towards you and then recognize you. It was like, I don't want to be in Star Wars. This was weird.
So you can't even make gestures towards them because there's nobody there to see them.
Never mind. I was going to make a Golden Nugget reference. anyway, so I had this happen, and then we'll get into the show. Just a quick story. Jason, that's a horrible angle, by the way. What?
I like it.
No.
Pretty sure you say that every time.
That's what Stephanie says.
Let me try every angle. Nope, they're all the same.
Yeah.
Thanks.
So I don't know if you guys... Okay, this kind of the opposite of something that we talked about last week. But last night, my wife, Alex, said something, and I was just like, what? As far as like a parenting thing goes, Jason or Sean, have you guys ever heard your wife say something, and you're just like, what are you doing? Like, not a big thing. This wasn't a big thing, but just like, because I know I've done this a million times, way more than her. So that's probably
whenever
why
Stephanie opens
why
her mouth,
it stood
I'm always
out.
Saying, like, what?
What? No, because, okay, it's, I don't know, nine, I don't know what time it was, but Addison is getting ready. It's getting close to her bedtime. Alex and I are watching a TV show in the family room on the couch. Alex asks Addison, hey, what are you doing? Because Addison was in the kitchen. And Addison says, I'm getting a banana. And Alex gets very concerned. And I don't think those are ripe, Addison. And I just kind of give her a glance, like, what? And then Addison comes into the family room and sits on the floor at the coffee table where Alex and I are watching a show. And I see that Addison has laid out, I don't know, four large sugar cookies right before bed and the banana. And I'm looking at the sugar cookies and Alex is like, Addison, what are you doing? What? Those bananas are not ripe. And I just look at her and I'm like, what? And then Addison finishes her cookies and the banana and goes upstairs to get ready for bed. And I just look at Alex and I'm like, what are you doing? She's like, what? You're concerned over if the banana is ripe? How about the four giant sugar cookies on the paper towel there? Jason, have you ever experienced that where Stephanie has said something and you're just looking at her like, what?
Yeah, the first thing that came to mind when you said that is that Addison is possibly a genius.
Oh, it was classic Addison. I'm just going to mention the banana. I'm not going to mention the real thing.
If I know that, you know, as Addison, if I know that my mom is going to have a problem with this unripe banana, she's totally going to glance by the giant dessert sugar cookies. And I'm going to go, oh, you're right, Mom. I'll put the banana back. We'll be all right. I think she might be a genius.
Oh, Addison is a genius in that way. But it was the over concern over a possible green banana.
I think the goal in the relationship is to be able to have that conversation with your wife and just laugh.
Oh, we did.
I will say that that's one of those choose your battle things that I probably would have just laughed and not said a word.
Yeah, it wasn't an argument or anything. It was like a laughing. What do you really? Bananas? Okay. Anyway, Sean apparently was told to leave the conversation by his wife. Yeah. So Sean is in a safe place right now.
You guys,
and okay, Sean, I don't know what you're doing right now, but put your Play-Doh down because we're about to start the show.
And now, from high atop the Camelback Towers in Scottsdale, from the Star Worldwide Network Studios, a man whose life revolves around his family, sports, grilling, and bad jokes, your host of the Dad Podcast, talking all things dad, here's Chris Brewer.
All right, we've got Jason here. Sean is, I don't know where Sean has gone. And Travis is stuck. So Jason, we'll have fun, and Sean will figure out his Lego playset here in a second. Jason, I know you haven't been able to be on in a little bit because you've got yourself a high end job. Is this CVS or is this Walgreens?
The amount of fun that you guys have been having with me getting a new job makes me happy. So keep it up. I love it. And Sean has one continuous joke now forever. Now that you said head dip boy, that's yes. What he calls me every time. And he continually thinks that it's funny. So let's keep going with the bashing Sean thing until he can get his phone.
I think he's figured it out. Sean, did you just eat a green banana? We have lost Sean again. All right. Jason, guess where
Let's
I was.
Let's continue to keep on ripping on Sean until he figures it out.
Uh-oh.
Oh, he's back.
Are you kidding me?
Well, your face is frozen, and you haven't been talking. It's like your wife on a date.
Jason, tell his whole story, and then your whole story. I'm
okay.
On my phone now.
We're off to a great start.
Just so the listeners know.
All mad
yes.
And hot.
Just
Robin,
so
interject,
the, please.
Just so the listeners know, this is actually an audio podcast, but we use the Zoom camera
right.
So the guys can see each other because every week they miss each other so much.
Yes.
It's like a reunion.
It is.
So there you go.
Sean usually goes with too much nudity, but we go with it. Jason, guess where I was last weekend?
I believe you told me this.
Yes.
It was Sri Lanka.
Yes. Also known as the Las Vegas of the East. No, it was really cool. I mentioned it on the show last week. Alex and I were going to the Pac-12 championship game in Las Vegas. And it's the most likely the last Pac-12 championship game, at least with like the real conference. Because everybody's leaving except for Washington State and Oregon State, and we'll see what happens there. But I've been very fortunate to have gone to a lot of sporting events with my dad and other opportunities, World Series this year with because of a Mitt. But I realized I had never been to a neutral site game where both fan bases were traveling in. So we're in Las Vegas and it's Washington and it's Oregon and the game's on a Friday. So all around town in Vegas Friday, all you saw was purple and green. That all over and just a different energy. I'd never experienced anything like that. And it was so cool. I'm so glad that we did it. And games at 5, we did brunch, and then now we've got to kill the day, and we're down by the strip because the stadium is down by where Mandalay Bay and Four Seasons are, if you know the strip and you know Vegas. So Jason and Sean, Alex and I are kind of walking around. It's a beautiful day, and there's this neat little patio area. Jason, I know you go to Vegas a lot, so you may know what I'm talking about. There's a neat little patio area where you could just do some people watching out in front of New York, New York. And they have a little bar set up there.
Oh, yeah.
Bistro tables and stuff. So we grab a beer, and then we sit at one of these tables. And like I said, gorgeous day. I don't know, at the time, probably 65, 70 degrees, sunny, sitting at the table, enjoying a beer, just watching all these fans walking around. And we start, there starts to be like a group of Washington fans that starts to get together near where we were sitting. And I see a father and a son walking, Washington fans. And the son had this T-shirt on that was just, it was just stupid. It had something to say about Oregon fans. And I'm like, Alex, his T-shirt is so dumb. And we get up, we're finishing up our beers, and we have this whole discussion over, or at least I'm having this discussion with Alex, telling her how stupid I thought this guy's T-shirt was. And then we go on through our day. We now get to the stadium, and we're sitting in our seats, just watching teams warm up, and just looking around, and Alex kind of gives me a nudge, and she's like, Chris, look who's sitting next to us.
Uh-oh.
It was the father and the son who we had been talking about at like 11:30 that morning. And the son is sitting next to Alex, and the dad never really said anything. Alex said he was kind of a jerk, but the son was super nice, and I'm like, hey, we saw you guys this morning. Like, you guys...
we saw that bad T-shirt.
I said that. I said, we saw you guys this morning. We were talking about you. And he's like, where did you guys see us? I said, we were sitting in front of New York, New York. And he's like, oh, yeah, that's where we're staying. And then he says that. I'm like, you know, your T-shirt's really stupid.
You did not.
I did.
Wow.
That is awesome.
I didn't say it like quite. I was like, you know, we were talking about your T-shirt, and I got to be honest with you, it's kind of dumb. He's like, yeah, I know. I get that all the time, actually. But I enjoy wearing it. It's kind of like my good luck T-shirt. But we got a million people in Vegas. We've had a legit conversation about this father and son, and they end up sitting next to us at the game. I thought that was nuts. Anyway.
Incredible.
Yes.
But while I was in Vegas, I started thinking, and this is why, question for you guys, I realized I'm seeking out the vendors to buy either a hoodie or some sort of Pac-12 Oregon trucker hat. And I realized, you know, you actually, Chris, you are become a collector of trucker hats and hoodies. Do you guys collect anything as adults?
I will say that I am super jealous of people who can wear trucker hats. It's actually painful to my head.
Really?
So I don't know what it is about them, but it's I'm not super being a flat villain in the back.
I'm not being a smartass here. You wear a firefighter's helmet, headgear, whatever the vernacular is, but a trucker hat is uncomfortable.
It's something about that big, wide, flat brim. I can't do it.
Hmm.
Anyway, well, then it's not really a trucker's hat, is it?
You don't need to wear it like a...
I don't think it has to be a flat bill. Sean, do you collect anything besides mucus?
You heard that?
I did catch that.
I don't think that I do at this point in time.
I guess I've started this collection too. barbecue, like spice rubs, I do collect, I guess you could say, and glassware for like cocktails.
I've always liked glassware.
Okay.
I haven't bought any recently, but because, you know, you start collecting things and it gets too much. You know, you asked me about this yesterday, and the main thing that I thought of was CDs, especially back in high school, was, I guess, something that I did have a pretty big collection of, it and almost became that collection type thing. I know that you and I collected basketball cards and stuff like that too, but I remember with CDs a lot and organizing them and organizing them chronologically and then alphabetically and
yeah,
X, Y, and Z. And I think that was probably my main thing as far as collections go.
Yeah.
And t-shirts.
Oh, okay. I started thinking, and then maybe this will pop your memory for some other collections. I tried to think of when I started collecting things, like as a kid, like boys do that, guys do that. And I thought of, and Jason, I'm glad you're on the show because it has to do with you. How old were we when we were in Cub Scouts? Like early Cub Scouts. How old were we?
This is going to be a total guess.
Is that like third grade?
That's what I was going to say. It was like eight.
Okay, so eight. I had a massive sticker collection. Like back in the day, collecting stickers was a thing. You had sticker books. They would sell, you know, collections of stickers, and you'd put them on pages. And I had all of these stickers. And then one night, listener Jason and I were in the same Cub Scout group, and his mom was the den leader, and my mom was the assistant den leader. And one night, Jason, because it was at your house, because all the den meetings were at the den leader's house, we were to bring our collection, and we were going to talk about it. You know, show it, talk about it. Now, I have this massive sticker collection, and I freeze up and think, the guys are going to think this is stupid. I'm not going to bring my sticker collection. And I was like, I'm going to bring my stamp collection. And my mom was like, your stamp? You don't even collect stamps. And I had this one book. And I think it was came from, like, remember, what was it called when you had the book thing? It was that order form, and you could order books like once a month. We'd get that like newspaperish,
the club,
little
the book
catalog
order club or something. Yeah,
and I think I got this stamp book of the presidents of the United States, and it came with like 12 stamps. That's what I came to the Cub Scout meeting, was like 12 stamps in this one book. Meanwhile, I have like 8,000 stickers at home. And your mom, I know, felt so bad for me that she told your older brother, who I guess truly did collect stamps, and he brought me like some of his cheap stamps to add to my collection.
So if you can think back, Chris, what was your mentality in wanting and not wanting to bring the stickers? Was it?
I think I was embarrassed.
Okay, so stamps were more sophisticated for your third grade friend?
Isn't that even worse?
Yeah.
The logic there is so stupid.
Yeah, you've never been very logical.
No, I kind of agree with you, Chris. I can see stamp collecting is something that anybody could do, but I mean sticker collecting, but stamp collecting is something that you either need to have time or money or whatever. Maybe it would seem, like Sean said, like more sophisticated, or just not everybody could do it. I don't know, but that was pretty dumb.
That was very dumb. And then I believe, at least my collecting goes, and I want to hear from you guys. So I went from stickers, that was like third grade, and then it evolved. I believe the next step was Garbage Pail Kids. Did you guys collect Garbage Pail Kids?
Yeah,
I had. Yeah.
God, I loved those. And then you would trade them, and there was the first series. Like, remember, the card to get was the first series Atom Bomb.
Atom Bomb.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, I that's got
the only one.
One
that I can remember.
I traded for one.
What an amazing business model. They made this whole card thing that wasn't worth anything and sold them. And then they made the exact same cards with a different name underneath, and it was the twin, and then everybody wanted that one too.
Yes, you had to have the twins.
Yep.
So I don't even remember what the twin was for Atom Bomb.
So was this before Pokemon?
Oh, yeah.
This was way before.
Robin, we were probably, I want to say, in the fifth grade.
Wow.
And you, it was serious. Like, you came. I believe they even had to make a school rule. I'm not joking.
No, they did.
You could or couldn't trade Garbage Pail Kids because it was getting out of hand.
It was like gambling on campus, they tried to say. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And to the point...
It seems to be that there's a million of those kind of things right now, but this was back in the day that it was kind of a new thing.
I remember if I was good for the week and my grades were good, my mom would take me on Friday to go to a baseball card shop to buy, and I got to buy one pack of Garbage Pail Kids on Friday. And that was just like, I've hit the jackpot.
Atom Bomb and Blasted Billy.
Gosh. I know I still have mine. They're in storage in the garage, but I still have my collection. And then I evolved to baseball card collecting. And it was probably 87 was the peak. What were you guys collecting stuff at that time? Like Hot Wheel cars or Playboys?
I collected baseball cards because it was the cool thing to collect, but I had no idea because you know how into sports I am. So I would buy the packs,
okay,
and hope that somebody else would be excited, maybe even you, when I opened the pack that some of the cards were good because I didn't know anybody was.
Sure.
But then I was super pumped on that piece of cardboard gum that came in the pack for sure. Yeah,
that was Topps.
Yeah.
Topps had the stick of gum.
And Topps.
There was Fleer. There was Topps, and there was Donruss. And then
I forgot about that.
And then it was huge news. I want to say this is like 88, 89. A new company, Upper Deck, came in. And the card, the card for our childhood to get, if you recall, was the Ken Griffey Jr. rookie Upper Deck card, 1989. If you got...
I do not remember that.
If you got that, you thought you were going to end up a millionaire. You did.
Yeah. Yeah. I remember hearing about it, but I didn't know it was the Upper Deck card.
And then Sean, we actually got into basketball cards.
Yeah, that was the main cards that kind of cards that I ever collected was that doing that with you.
And we would
WNBA.
So Jason, what Sean and I would do and others who played tennis is we would bring our baseball cards to the court. And then we would each put a card up, and then we would play each other in what we called mini tennis, and the winner got the basketball card. And it got intense. Do you remember this, Sean?
I do remember that across the street from the courts that we played on was a card shop, and we would always go over there and maybe buy a pack, and then. At one point in time, like one of us bought like an entire box and it was really, really awesome.
Oh, when somebody bought a whole box of cards, that was such a huge deal. I remember my dad bought me a box of cards one time. I still remember how I felt. He handed it to me in the laundry room. And I couldn't believe that he had gotten me a whole box of baseball cards. I was on cloud nine.
I'm going to go sideways on you here and say it's surprising to me when you learn the value of something like that and how much it meant to us as kids. Do you think it meant that much because it never happened? Because nowadays, I look at my kids and I go, oh, for the price of what that costs, I would have done that once a month for my kids. Is it because we all spoil our kids, or we have more money, or just expectations are higher?
That's a great question. I think expectations are higher. I think
things are much simpler back then.
Things were way simpler.
Yeah,
much more simple back then.
If you think about how often we'd go out to like a fast food or a Subway for lunch, it was maybe once a week, once every 2 weeks, and my dad was always pissed about it.
All of those things were treats,
right? Yep, and now it's normal part of life, and it's like, it's expected, and why aren't we doing this more?
Yes, I completely agree with you. I would spend hours in my room with my baseball card collection, reorganizing. Let's put all the rookies together. No, let's put all the higher-end cards together. I'd have piles.
And it was valuable because of that stuff.
Oh,
my gosh.
It gave
you something to do. It was like you were reverent towards it. Yeah. Do you remember collecting? It was probably baseball cards originally for me, because I didn't have probably as many as you guys did. But my mom would buy those picture albums where one side was sticky and the other side was see-through, and you put them in there.
I don't know if I ever had that.
You know what I'm talking about? You know those family picture albums?
Yeah.
Where you open the plain cover and you put a picture in, and then you put the clear cover over the top?
Yes.
You mean photo albums? Yeah.
Yeah. That's where I kept my God, I missed you guys. That's where I kept my baseball cards.
Oh, okay.
I thought that would protect them.
No, I get that, because at first I didn't know what to do. And then I realized, oh no, they actually sell stuff.
Then you get the sleeves that can go in the three-ring binders and all that. Right?
Oh, I'll tell you this. Two things. Okay. I hadn't even thought of that. It wasn't even my notes or anything. My dad collected baseball cards. Okay. And he's looking at, I remember this, he's looking at, you know, my collection, and I've got the price guide. And my parents, it was always a Christmas present. They got me a subscription so I'd get a monthly price guide in the mail, which was just, man, when that came in the mail, that was like Christmas once a month. And he's going through the price guide, and he's like, oh my gosh, I had all these cards. And he's pointing at, you know, Mickey Mantle from the 50s and Hank Aaron and all this. He's like, I got to tell you a story. I'm like, okay. So he had this incredible baseball card collection as a kid, just like we did. And he goes to college. And the first break, I believe it was the first Christmas break, he comes home, his mom had gotten rid of all of his baseball cards.
Oh no. Wow.
And he went up to his room to go look for his cards, and he's like, Mom, where are my cards? Oh, I just thought that was, you know, extra stuff now. You know, you're at college and I gave it away. He's like, what? That was my collection. He had 52 Tops, Mickey Mantle, which is worth thousands. He had cards worth that. He's like, I had all those cards. So I did have, he gave me this one collection of cards that he still had. And I have them. They're in my room. And I'm going through them. And classic 12-year-old. I should drink orange juice while I'm going through this collection of my dad's cards.
Oh no.
That seems like a good idea.
I know where this is going.
Knocked it over. Mm. Spilled orange juice over this collection of cards of my dad's.
How do you deal with that?
I've been talking with Sean hourly. It's a paid hour with Sean once a week.
Wow.
It's helping.
Did your dad light you up for it?
I didn't tell anybody.
Nobody ever knew.
No. No, my mom my mom knows now.
That's funny.
Anyway, the other thing I realized being in Vegas, and I really did think about this, and Jason, again, I know you've been to Vegas a million times. I have never, actually, but most people would not consider this a celebrity. I've only seen one famous person in Vegas ever. And it's funny, the only famous person I saw in Vegas, guys, was a professional tennis player named Sam Querrey. And Robin, I know you're laughing. Robin, he graduated from our high school.
Well,
and he's the only person I've ever seen. And it was Sam Querrey, who went on to be top 20 in the world, but he graduated from Thousand Oaks High School, like the three of us. Have you guys ever had a celebrity? I have had celebrity sightings, just never in Vegas. Have you guys ever had any celebrity sightings?
I think I told you I was in the room where Michael Jordan was playing blackjack.
Was that in Tahoe?
No, it was in the Bellagio in Vegas.
Oh, okay.
And it was this private room for this corporate event, and it was one of the few, actually many places I shouldn't have ever been invited to because I did not belong there. And it was this small room, and there was like four blackjack tables, and he would play one hand, and then he would make the dealer stop, and he'd watch TV for like 15, 20 minutes. And then because there was a basketball game on, and then he'd play one hand, and everybody, I think he liked it because everybody knew he was there, and they were trying to come over just to catch an eye of him. And then the other one I had was I got invited.
Was he smoking a cigar?
Yep.
Okay, I thought so.
And he had hands on. The other one I have from Vegas is I went to Vegas with a guy who was a mechanic for Honda on the motorcycles.
Hmm.
And he got invited up to one of those suites in the Palms that has an infinity pool that hangs over the side.
Oh, wow.
So I went up there with him, and I saw a ton of Honda riders and some of those guys from the, what's the motorcycle jackass show they have? Anyway, those are the only two times.
The Palms used to be the place.
Yeah, when it was new.
Yeah, I think they're like hanging on.
They just merged with a California Indian reservation.
I think I read that. Quick Jordan story. Student of mine, a friend of mine at the club that I work at, he's from Chicago, and his company did security. And they got hired to do Michael Jordan's apartment. So he had an apartment that he would stay at near the stadium the night before a game, kind of thing. And they had to go into the ceiling. And on the floor was this white, beautiful rug, okay? So they have to go into the ceiling. They're taking some panels off or something like that. And this is why I asked you, was he smoking a cigar? The entire ceiling above the actual, you know, ceiling, all of this ash comes out and falls all over this white rug. They ended up having to pay Michael Jordan $20,000 for this rug that they had ruined, but he smoked so many cigars, all of this ash was just in the ceiling of this apartment that he had.
It's funny you say that because when he was there smoking a cigar, he had two more on the table next to him. I vividly remember that.
Yeah.
Seriously. Unlit. Big old stogies just waiting.
Yeah.
That's a lot of cigars, man. I enjoy smoking a cigar on occasion, but anything I mean, the next day your mouth tastes like an ashtray. Yes, I can't imagine that that's just all the time.
Sean, any celebrity sightings?
I definitely think about, not recently, but when I was a kid, it seemed like every time I went to LAX, we saw somebody.
Hmm.
And I mean, I think of like Hulk Hogan and Bruce Willis were the two people that I remember seeing at LAX, right? So it seems like whenever we went there,
I could see that
we see somebody. I remember when I was working at Juice Stop between Juice my freshman Stop. And sophomore year of college. I made Nikki Sixx a smoothie, so that was pretty cool.
Was he nice?
One of my more interesting ones is actually on a professional level, so I'm not going to say who it was, but he came in as a family member / friend of one of my clients, and I didn't even know who he was. Because you know how celebrities, I mean, he was really cool, and he was wearing a hat, and he had a beard and whatnot, and didn't know who he was until after. And
Abraham Lincoln.
That is so funny. I was going to make the same joke.
Isn't that obvious?
He had a beard and he was wearing a hat. I mean, who else could it be?
Exactly.
Hulk Hogan.
But so, yeah, so I've had a handful of those as well. But celebrity sightings that...
I'm glad Sean was paying attention that you were asking specifically about Vegas.
No, actually, it was more open, just...
I don't think it was.
Yeah, it wasn't. It was just and a thought Chris, that I had in Vegas.
You don't know who Nikki Sixx is? Did you really say that?
No, I know who he is. I said. I asked,
you said, who is that?
No, I said, was he nice?
Oh.
He was.
I know that I saw, it's funny because all those guys are from Thousand Oaks. I saw Vince Neil at a house one time in TO.
Really?
Yeah.
At a house?
Yeah, it was random.
You can explain this?
I want to say Mark Wilson was there, and we were riding our bikes by a house, and there was a Corvette, brand new Corvette. And
listener, just plates. Know Mark Wilson being at this does not help the story in any way.
So would this be the Corvette?
Me.
Would this be the Corvette where he was involved in an accident?
Oh,
I don't know.
I wonder.
It may have been that same day.
Wow.
It said Vince Neil on the license plate. That's his personalized plate.
Mm. Oh, who doesn't do that?
So Mark being
Jackie
Mark,
Brewer
just went up to same the open thing. Door and looked in, and there he was, and he came out. He's like, hey, did you guys need something? And of course, you know, being as cool as we were, we go, no, and we rode away as fast as we could.
Oh, okay.
Brush with fame.
Great story. I do have a neat celebrity sighting, and Sean, we were actually living, we were roommates at the time in Newport Beach, so you may remember me telling you this story, but I was going to a little work party, and listener, Sean and I lived for a short time together in Newport Beach, had no business living in Newport Beach, had no money to be living in Newport Beach, but made enough to pay the rent and buy a six pack of beer, basically. But I go to this work party that is outside of Newport Beach, and I'm driving home, and I think, you know what, I am going to pick up, you know, some beer, something like that, go back to our apartment and probably hang out with Sean, see what he's up to. So I'm in this liquor store. And I had never been there before, just found it, walking around. And I hear like a conversation at the front of this liquor store. And I turn around and it's Dennis Rodman with like four dudes who look like us, but in their 20s. That's who he's hanging out with. It's Dennis Rodman. Still playing. This is he's a Laker. He's a superstar. He's very famous at this time, and he's hanging out with four Chris Brewer, Sean Johnson, Jason Kays, and he's at this liquor store, and he has no money. And he's trying to tell the people working at the liquor store, hey, I'll sign those basketballs behind you if we can get some beer. So apparently nobody in this group had any money, and he's trying to sign basketballs that they're selling at the liquor store, and they are refusing. And they clearly have no idea who he is.
I do that all the time.
They are of Asian descent and do not know who Dennis Rodman is and are refusing his offer. And Dennis Rodman, like, you know, little kid who's not getting his way and kind of just shuffles his feet, he just turns around in total defeat and goes into the car, and they drive off, and they got nothing. And that's my Dennis Rodman story. He also had a beard and a hat.
I bet he did.
Yes, he did. Okay.
He's still around a little bit.
Okay, so
just to let you know,
it is clear we don't really have any good celebrity sightings. If the best Clearly. One is Jason running into who was it? Paul Pfeiffer? Who did you
Vince
see?
Vince Neil.
Michelle Pfeiffer
and my Dennis Rodman basketball story. We have someone who I know has seen, talked with, written books with. I don't know. Cooked rice with. Robin, we're gonna play a little game with you.
Oh boy.
So Sean has a list of about 87 celebrities, and we're going to see if you have met them, know them, worked with them. We'll leave it at that. All right. Sean, do you want to go first with a guess?
All right. Robin, all we need is a yes or no on these. First one, Pauly Shore.
No.
Okay.
Chris?
Jason Bateman.
No.
Wow. How about
but sort of.
Sort of.
Sort of.
Okay.
I was on set of Arrested Development, but it was on a scene he was not there. So we kind of worked together, but we didn't.
Whoa.
Oh, no, we don't need that.
So you were on the set of Arrested Development?
Yeah, I thought we discussed that before.
I don't remember Maybe not. Anything.
Yeah, it was just a quick trip to California, and I got invited to do the banana booth thingy. So I was on Balboa Island. Yeah, down on the beach. So it was very brief. He wasn't there.
Okay.
But was it Michael Cena? No, not yes. Michael. Is it
Michael
no.
Cena?
He was on that scene. So there you go.
Okay.
So kind of 6 degrees.
Okay. Richard Simmons.
No.
Ozzy Osbourne.
Oh yeah, hell yeah, many times.
Nice.
Best. Okay, do you have an Ozzy Osbourne story of any kind?
He was actually pretty calm the last time I saw him. And the time before was when he was going crazy on stage, throwing water at everybody. So, yeah, he kind of got my camera soaking wet when he played out here at Compton Terrace. He threw water on everybody that was up front because it was kind of warm.
Wow.
And I had to make sure that my camera was still functioning. And it took a little while for it to dry out.
So when he calmed down, what year are we talking?
Well, when I met him the first time, was at a Tower Records signing, and I was there with the radio station, and he was very calm, very nice. Had a great conversation with him. And if you can actually, if you actually sit down and talk to him for a while, he's interesting to talk to. Very interesting to talk to.
I believe that. I enjoyed that show. What was it, The Osbournes?
The Osbournes, yeah.
I enjoyed that show. Is Tower Records still around?
I don't think so.
I don't think so either. Jason, are you falling asleep, or are you going to actually throw out a celebrity name, even though you weren't part of this game? We have to have a pre-production meeting.
Yeah, I feel like Robin has every celebrity that we've brought up. She knows. I'm very impressed that you guys actually found some that she didn't know.
Okay, I had one that I wrote down. Neil Diamond.
Very close to meeting him. Oh. Missed him by 10 minutes.
Who is this?
Neil Diamond.
Oh.
What about John Cusack?
Oh, God, yeah. Yeah. It,
oh, God. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. John. Well, here's the cool thing.
Oh, John.
Here's the thing.
Johnny boy.
I met John years ago, and we actually kept in touch for a little while, which was really awesome. But, of course, you know, sometimes things get lost in translation, and you kind of lose sight of the person. But, yeah, I actually talked to John quite a few times. Very, very nice guy. Awesome guy.
Was he was he always holding a radio above his head when he was talking to you?
No.
Okay. Sean, what did you say?
Rob Zombie.
Yes.
Of course.
Nice.
Okay, where did you meet Rob Zombie?
Rob Zombie several years ago at a radio station here, and I didn't get a chance to say hi to him, but I saw him last year at Alice Cooper's Christmas Pudding here at Celebrity Theater. So he was part of the melee that went on with that. But yeah, I met him a long time ago.
Just know, Robin, when I threw this game out, Sean has been texting names for about 24 straight hours.
Wow.
So I'm going to steal some of his.
Okay.
And these are gems from Sean to myself and Travis via text. Monica Lewinsky.
No. But does Jessica Hahn count?
Oh. Come on. Who's the...
She's the one that slept with a preacher and then posed in Playboy.
He was going to win. He was probably going to win. It was on a boat. Who was that?
Jim and Tammy Faye Baker, I think, wasn't it?
No, but the guy running for president.
Wait a minute. Who are you talking about now?
The guy running for president.
With Jessica Hahn?
I swear.
I think you're talking about Gary, what's his face?
Gary.
But that's a different chick.
That's not Jessica Hahn?
No, Jessica Hahn was involved with the preacher couple.
Okay.
She was the church secretary that got busted with the preacher man, and then she posed in Playboy.
Okay, so who in that story have you met?
Jessica Hahn.
Jessica Hahn.
Yeah, she did. She came out here and was in a thing called Unity Fest in the early 90s that a friend of mine, Pat Flannery, had set up for all the local bands. And yeah, quite the interesting lady.
Jessica Hahn seems like a really obvious invite to Unity Fest.
Well, it was a band thing.
I got one.
Okay.
I know you're in radio, so I assume you know this guy. Casey Kasem?
I had a brief 5-minute hello kind of meeting with him years ago when I was in Los Angeles, and that was pretty much it.
Rick. He seemed so interesting to me. Was he known as a nice guy?
I have heard reports of him being both, but you know, when you get that big, sometimes you can have an ego, but he was nice to me in the 5 minutes that I talked to him.
I can't remember. I got to look this up. It's either Casey Kasem or Dick Clark, and I swear it's Casey Kasem. I'm going to look this up for next week's show, and it is a audio of him completely losing his mind with his producer off air over how could we be playing this song when this song just played, and he just annihilates this person over this one. Why are we playing? Like, why are we playing We Are the World right after? I don't know. And just screaming, cursing.
Because the music director said so?
I imagine it's how Jason led his fire department. Just ridicules this person horribly. Anyway, Scott Baio. Rock.
Yes.
Okay, I'm sorry, Chris. Scott Baio? Oh, yes. Good.
Yeah.
Okay. Do the names David Patch or Stephen Lukather mean anything to you?
You mean Steve Lukather? That is a musician.
Yeah.
Yes. I've met him years ago.
I have no idea who those people are.
They're musicians.
I told that to Sean.
Yeah.
Okay. Founding members of Toto.
Yes.
I figured it would be a... I figured you would know those names for some reason.
Yeah,
I
have.
Mm-hmm. When you met Scott Baio, was Charles really in charge?
I haven't a clue.
Okay.
Because it was a very brief meeting.
Gotcha.
Yeah.
Jason, any more gems from you?
Man, you're putting me on the spot today.
I know.
I mean, I go to DJs with Robin because I know most of their career has been on the radio.
Corey Haim.
Yes.
Really?
Yes.
Man, you guys...
Corey Feldman.
Yes.
What a surprise.
Robin, how many, if I were to look into your phone right now, how many names would I recognize?
Honestly, the last one of those got deleted a few years ago thanks to his now wife, but most of the celebrity phone numbers are no longer in existence in my phone, but the only one I did have for a number of years was Gene Simmons until Shannon said, I don't want you talking to him anymore.
Whoa.
Yeah.
There you go.
Well, we just got a little golden nugget.
I've known Gene since the mid-80s, and yeah, she, last time I saw her in the 90s, they weren't even married yet, but they were together for a while. And she's like, I don't want you talking to him. I'm like, dude, I don't have an interest in him that way. It's all professional.
Shannon Tweed.
He would have been a good one to have on my list. That's
Didn't he marry Shannon Tweed?
He just married her a few years back. But yeah, I told her, I said, you know what you married or you know what you're with. I mean, she was a porn star and he was a rock and roller. Come on now. You know, it is what it is.
And Robin, who would you be starstruck to meet right now, today? Who would kind of make you jump back a little bit if you met them today?
Honestly, nobody.
Nobody.
I've kind of gone through that phase already, and I've learned that being around, especially actors working on set, and being around musicians, that it's more about treating them like normal people because they get enough of all the other BS. So I don't get starstruck anymore. I just act normal because it's you know, this is something that I've done since I was a kid. So I will I will have the disclaimer that in my early 20s, even though I had already been around Aerosmith in a roundabout way, when I got to sit down and actually meet them at Foundations Forum in Burbank, California, a few years back in the 90s, I did kind of go a little fangirl and showed off my Aerosmith tattoo. But
I bet, yeah.
But yeah, you know,
understandable.
It's just, I don't get starstruck anymore. I just don't.
I'll end it with this to you, Rob. Okay, so I wasn't a huge fan. I thought it was funny, but I remember meeting Weird Al Yankovic. Mm-hmm. And again, not a huge fan. I just remember how nice and genuine he was to everybody that he was meeting at this little autograph session. And then I ended up actually getting to talk to him. It was at this little tennis pro-am years ago when I was in high school. But it's just, that's like 30 years ago, and it still stays with me how nice this person was.
Sean, do you remember going?
I'm in the middle of a question.
Oh, I thought you were done.
No, I'm asking Robin a question.
All right.
Yeah, well, we went there too, Jason.
Rush, how long is this going to take?
Yeah, because we got to wrap this thing up.
So if you had to just give us like one or two celebrities where you're like, these are really nice people that I've met, who would be one or two?
A band called Giant.
Okay.
The Huff Brothers. Dan Huff was very well known, but they had a song called I Will See You in My Dreams. They are probably the nicest people I've ever met in the industry, and the second nicest person I've ever met in the industry, hands down, Bruce Dickinson from Iron Maiden.
Oh, nice.
Absolutely, just the sweetest person.
Interesting. Jason, what was your question to Sean?
I went backstage at Def Leppard. I forgot about that. Remember that?
That's
song?
Right. Yes.
Yeah. We met that band.
Nirvine. First time.
Yeah, yeah. It was very uncomfortable because we should not have been back there. And we knew nobody and we were way too young. And the guitarist came up to us and asked if we all smoked weed like he did right before he got on stage. You remember that?
That was awesome.
I was on a Southwest Airlines flight from Albuquerque to L.A. with my mom, and the Pointer Sisters were on the flight. And my mom and my aunts had seen the Pointer Sisters the night before.
They were singing Jump?
I'm kidding. Still a good song.
I'm sorry. It was just right there.
I like the Pointer Sisters. All right, guys. Jason, it was so great to have you back, man.
Thanks, man. It's good to be back.
Love you guys. Drop mic.
Drop mic.
Thanks for listening to the Dad Podcast with Chris Brewer. Join us next time as we continue our conversations about everything dad, right here at StarWorldWideNetworks.com or wherever you get your favorite podcasts.
Jason, great to have you. I got to get out of here because next.